Joshua chapter 5 as we continue our study in Joshua. We'll go over the prayer list at the close, talk about all those that are traveling out today. Normally that's summertime that happens, but I guess there are exceptions to the rule. We began talking about four experiences that were brought to Joshua and the people by God that centered around a token or a symbol, each of which has specific spiritual significance. We began looking at, number one, the token of circumcision, and then I put a colon after that, restoration to covenant blessings. The token of circumcision, restoration to covenant blessings, talking about the Abrahamic covenant. We went through all that last time, so we're not going to repeat that. Verses 2 through 9. And we finished up looking at Romans 4. We talked about the spiritual significance of the picture of circumcision. Let me wrap it up. We didn't quite finish. Let me just give you these, and then we'll move on to the second token. So God commanded the ritual of circumcision to be done before they went into the promised land, because that new generation had not been circumcised. And the reasons for this, number one, was to restore the covenant blessings. We already went through verses 2 through 7. Secondly, to test their faith. To test their faith, verse number 8, chapter 5, verse 8, and their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way as they wandered in the desert, in the wilderness. Number 3, to remove their reproach, verse number 9, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. The ridicule of the enemy when they failed to trust God at Kadesh Barnea, and thus they could not enter the land, was removed. And then number 4, to enable them to celebrate Passover. They had not celebrated Passover for 40 years. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And then lastly, number 5, to picture other important spiritual truths, which of course we went over several of those last time. Secondly, the second token is the token of the blood. The token of the blood, which is an anticipation of deliverance. The token of the blood, anticipation of deliverance. Verse number 10, the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Gilgal. And this was the first time since the wilderness wanderings. Passover, of course, the first one. God was going to deliver Israel out of Egypt. Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. Moses and Aaron stood before Pharaoh. God performed various miracles through Moses. And lastly, of course, was Passover. And the blood was applied on the lentil and doorposts. And the death angel passed over. If he saw the blood, then the firstborn was spared. And of course, all the firstborn of Egypt were killed, and there was wailing and weeping in the land, and ultimately Pharaoh let the people go. Of course, then he chased them down. God destroyed Pharaoh and the armies in the Red Sea. People crossed over on dry land, and God swallowed up the rest, and they met their demise. The token of the blood, anticipation of deliverance. Then number 3, token of fruit. Token of fruit, appropriation of blessing, verses 11 and 12. Token of fruit, appropriation of blessing. In verse 11, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. And of course, that's grain. And the manna ceased on the morrow. So that all the way up till this time, they still were receiving manna from heaven. But now it ceased. The children of Israel had manna anymore, did not have manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So the manna ceased, and now they would enjoy the fruit of the land, which was a foretaste of the blessings to come. You know, the land flowing with milk and honey. Someone has said it's easy to get people out of Egypt, but hard to get Egypt out of the people. Because the Passover reminded them of their redemption from Egypt, but the manna, among other things, reminded them of their desire to go back to Egypt. Sometimes when times get hard, especially early in our Christian lives, we're tempted to go back. How soon we forget what the old life was really like. Emptiness without Christ, without hope. There is, I mean, the Bible says pleasure is of sin for a season. I mean, for a while, sin can be fun, can it? Gratifying the flesh. But it doesn't last. There's a payday someday, isn't there? Well, they often in the wilderness would cry to go back. Oh, there were cucumbers there and we had all these, we had like a vegetable garden. And now all we have is this manna. And then the Lord sent quail. And of course they ate until it was coming out of their nostrils because they were whining and crying. And I would have been whining and crying too, because bread without meat is not a meal. But anyway, God provided for them. So let me ask you a question this morning. How is your appetite for the old life? You ever desire to go back? Before God called me here, for about three or four years after I left Berkeley Baptist, I served at Calvary for a couple of years with Pastor BJ, and then went down to a church down in Winchester, a relatively new church. I was doing very, very well. I was impressed with the ability of the pastor to preach the word and teach the word. And I can be kind of picky about that. And he was awesome and I loved it. Church was great. It was growing. A lot of young people. It was exciting. And now, 7 years later, the pastor is no longer in the ministry. Him and his wife of 25 years are divorced. He's working for Chick-fil-A somewhere down south, and he doesn't preach anymore because his fingers got in the till. And I even had a lunch meeting with him, warned him, you're handling the money. There's 85 to 100 people here. You don't need to handle the money. It's the appearance of evil. You better watch it. And sure enough, now he's totally back in the old life. Family with, I can't remember if he had five or six children. They're all, all but two were grown. They're all grown now. We have to be so careful that we don't get that appetite stirred up for the old life. Because it's easy to fall back into it, isn't it? And then it's hard to get back out. We fall into the old life and God starts chastening us instead of working through us. He starts working on us, which is a very unpleasant experience. When we get spanked by God, that's not pleasant. It's worse than any spanking we'd ever get from mom and dad when we were little. And it's difficult to get back on solid. Not saying it's difficult because of God. God forgives and cleanses and restores. Hallelujah. But we battle then with memories of what we did after we were saved and we slipped back into the old life. The devil loves to use that. You think you're really something now, don't you? Back in church, reading the Bible and praying. Oh, yeah, you're really something. Remember what you did back here? And remember that? You did that. You're not so hot. Yeah. The harvest, of course, is, oh, by the way, the best thing to do, of course, is to trust God and allow him to feed and satisfy us. Just trust God. Trust God. Harvest is a picture of the death and resurrection of Christ. The seed is buried in the ground. I got some bean seeds left from this year. I planted some pole beans because the bush beans, you got to bend way down there and pick them bad boys. So I said, you know, I remember years ago, I had pole beans and they climb up there. And yeah, you still got to bend down to get the bottom. But a lot of them are, you know, you can just, you know what I'm saying? So, and it worked out pretty good. They were good beans. I just picked my last not long ago. Now the frost finally, the bean plants are, they look like that. But, you know, those seeds that are hanging in the garage, they're not going to grow in the garage. Are they? It's amazing. I mean, you can leave them there. I know you're supposed to use them. They have a date on them, but they last a long, long time, okay? So I could leave them hang out there for 5 years probably, and they're still going to look the same. I picked the pack up, and they're going to look the same. But if I throw them in the ground a few inches below the surface and the soil is warm enough and moist enough, what's going to happen? They're going to spring to life, aren't they? The Lord himself used that illustration, didn't he? Talking about his death, and then ultimately he would be resurrected. So the seed buried in the ground dies, but then comes forth in new life. And of course, the Lord applied this image to himself along with the harvest, the manna, excuse me, and the harvest. Because he is the bread of life, is he not? The manna ceased, and they took part of the blessings of the promised land. And then number four, the token of a sword. The token of a sword, the revelation of a holy war. The token of a sword, the revelation of a holy war, if someone would like to read for me verses 13 through 15. All right, George, I see that hand, and you are awake for a change, so go ahead and, I'm just kidding. He said he slept good, so. All right, 13 through 15, George.
And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so.
All right, thank you. The Lord had personally reaffirmed that his presence would be with Joshua. If you recall back in chapter 1, verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Then verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And as we just heard from George, Joshua was by Jericho. He lifted up his eyes, he looked, and he saw a man. And this man was a pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Trinity called a Christophany. Christ had not yet taken on human form, but of course he has existed from eternity past and often would appear as the angel of the Lord. Here he appeared as the captain of the host. Kind of reminded Joshua right away who was in charge. It wasn't Joshua, he was second in command. And so he saw this man, he saw the sword drawn, and Joshua, who had no, didn't have a bone of compromise in his body, Joshua, who wouldn't move until he was sure the Lord's presence was with him, went up to this man, and he said, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Whose side are you on?" He said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come." And Joshua immediately recognized that this was deity. And he fell on his face and he worshiped. So it wasn't just an angel, it certainly wasn't a man. And this person never did tell Joshua, "Get up, get up, get up, I'm just a man." And so indeed it was a Christophany. And he said, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot." Sound familiar? Exodus 3, when the Lord appeared in a burning bush. He took, had to take his sandals off. Every time I read this, I was down in Charlestown, Tri-State Baptist, 35, 40 years ago. And I'm teaching at Sunday school. We're in Exodus, talking about Moses and the burning bush. And I talked about the taking the sandals off. And all of a sudden, this man, middle-aged man, 50-ish, came walking up the aisle. It was a good-sized church. Tri-State's a big church. And I see this man start walking up the aisle, and he's got no shoes or socks on. He comes up and he stands right there in front of the communion table. He looks up at me and says, "Preacher." That's how he talked. I said, "Sonny, what are you doing?" He said, "This is holy ground." He had his shoes off. We had to deal with Sonny. Sonny had some issues. But you know, when we're in the presence of God, that should be the condition of our hearts, as though we understand. We can never fully understand, but we have a sense of his holiness, and we stand in awe of him, and we bow before him. And it was a sign of humility, taking the sandals off. Josh was reminded that God is in charge. Is Jesus Lord of your life? I mean, he's the Lord no matter what. We don't make Jesus Lord. Some taught for a while that, you know, we were saved a while, and then we get to a certain point in our Christian lives and we make Jesus Lord. I love that. I don't know about you. I have never had the power to make Jesus anything. He is who he is. Well, he's Lord. And so we need to recognize his lordship in our lives. Is he your recognized Lord? Have you submitted yourself to his authority? It's amazing how often we take over. We say we believe in God. We say we trust Christ as Savior and Lord. And then we rule our own lives. And we end up in a real mess. And then we can't figure out why God's so mean to us. We're in a mess. Why I'm in such a mess? Maybe because I took control of my own life and I messed it up. Do you have something you want to say?
Yeah. Even though that guy had some issues, it had to be God speaking to him. He knew enough about something, or the Bible or something, or heard something to make him do that.
Well, we were in the midst of studying that.
Oh, okay.
And so he heard it.
Oh, okay.
And then he came up and he had some... Yeah, he had some issues. But I mean, it made a point. I made such a point, I've never forgotten it. That was 40 years ago. And it reminds me of the seriousness of what wasn't just God saying, "Hey, take shoes." I mean, it had a real point. The holiness of God is something not to be taken lightly. Our God is a holy God. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God holds our next breath in his hand, though the world mocks him. And our nation as a whole is spit in the face of God. And we're not going to get away with it. Yes, ma'am.
Do you think
reading about holy ground and you saying about Jesus being Lord of your life and so on and so forth, and the private conversations that we have in our own head when things like this come up, in a setting like this even, do we miss a lot of what is there to be had because we think that, well, maybe they wouldn't want to hear from me, or maybe that isn't applicable for this particular time, or maybe, when actually a lot of people could learn something, even if one person learns from something that you say. And where I'm going with this is holy ground. My husband passed away soon to be 8 years. Never in my life did I ever think I would be living by myself, ever. Well, you find yourself living by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to do this life. And how do I do this? Well, for whatever reason, and I don't have any issues. I know you said that this Sonny maybe had some issues with the holy ground thing, but I don't have any issues, I don't think. But I was prompted to go through my house one day and clean house, do spiritual clean house, and get thee behind me and plead the blood and everything. And at that point, I was prompted, and I do it all the time when I walk through my house and I feel my feet on the floor and I have this knowing and I say it, this is holy ground because I called it into being, because I called him, asked him to be there and live in me and in my home.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, think of this. Wherever God is holy ground. And he lives within every single born-again child of God. That's why, are we to be holy? Yeah. So anywhere God is holy ground. Not just certain times and places. No matter where we are.
There was another situation where I was in church, and there was a sign up on the projection thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a little sign that said, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? ... Well, I couldn't get that out of my mind. I really, really thought about it. Excuse me. Got a tickle. But that needs answered. Are you ready?
Yeah. There's a banner going across our sign right now that says, are you going to heaven?
Is there a water fountain?
There's some water back there, yes, ma'am. Right. As soon as you hit the corner there, you'll see there are cups hanging there, and there's. All right. That's good. Now remember, this is Sunday school. If you have something you want to share that goes along with what we're talking about, then please, you're not interrupting me, okay? Remember, this is supposed to be here, because I could preach no matter what. You know that.
That's a good thing for
that's what I do.
Papa and I to remember when we're not sad that we're moving, but it's leaving the place that we've been at for 23 years. But
yeah.
That's a good thing to do when we move into the house is to ask the same thing that lady asked, you know.
Yeah. But the most important thing is that you don't, when you move away and you're leaving your house for 23 years, you got to hang on to something very, you know, very special, like coming back up here to church. I mean, I am praying and every night, oh God, please help Gary and Kathy as they're getting ready to move, that everything falls into place for them. But Lord, please break their hearts that they stay and come up here.
We got to go where we're hearing the word. I mean, if it's an extra mile, then it's an extra mile. Now, come wintertime,
that's
a different story. But
well, I don't do much snow and ice anymore because I'm old.
But
it used to be a challenge. Now it's, oh no. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying there's so many churches that we know that they don't do that. So you're going to go to another church just because you're saving a few miles? We're thinking about it.
I love that attitude. Good. All right. Well, I'll keep praying then. All right. So the battle was the Lord's. All he had to do was submit to God's word and obey his orders. couple of verses over in Ephesians. Remember, Ephesians kind of goes with Joshua. In Ephesians, I just want to share a couple of scripture here. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14. 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, understanding the battle was the Lord's, Joshua bowed the knee. In chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith ye have been called. And then along with that, he was ready then to go to battle in the power of God, chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's what we need to conquer our enemies and the enemies of God. Hudson Taylor, you've heard of him, haven't you? Missionary, founder of China Inland Mission, reminded a small group of missionaries that he was speaking to one day about three ways to do God's work. He said there's basically three ways to approach it. Number one is to make the best plans we can and carry them out to the best of our ability. That's one way to do it. Something missing there, though, isn't there? Let me read it again. Make the best plans we can and carry them out to the best of our ability. A second way to approach trying to do what God wants us to do, having carefully laid out plans and determined to carry them through, we can ask God to help us. Okay, that's another way. But there's a lot better way. The best way for us to approach life and any plans we might make or anything that we think God wants us to do, we begin with God. Begin with God. And pour our hearts out to him. Proverbs teaches that sometimes we devise plans, we make plans, and we should have plans. But then God sometimes will overrule those. He did that with Paul, didn't he? Paul wanted to head to Macedonia. God said, no, I don't want you to go there yet. And the Holy Spirit of God directed him in a different direction. So we begin with God. We ask God, Lord, what are your plans for me? And then we offer ourselves to him. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. You are my Lord. I want to accomplish your purposes. And so we must live as a spiritually prepared people like Joshua. He had to be, he was already prepared militarily, was he not? He wasn't a young man. He was an old man. He had seen it all, if you please. But if we're going to live in Canaan rest, we must realize it's not us living the life, but Christ who lives in us. We are living life according to his will and purpose, like Paul said in Galatians 2:20. So in face of all the enemies of our souls who desire to keep us from enjoying that living relationship with the living God, our hearts must be prepared. Confessing any sin, allowing that reproach to roll away, believing God for victory in every circumstance in our lives. Sometimes we feel unworthy, and we should. But then God looks at our hearts. He sees the blood of Christ applied. He sees our sin has been washed away, and we have been declared righteous in his sight. And so God does hear and answer prayer. And we have, through Christ, the ability to go and make our requests known unto God. Another question for us is, have we become partakers of the fruit of the land? If not, taste and see, as the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The fruit of the land is a whole lot better than the manna in the desert. The fruit of the land is so much better than the manna in the desert. Maybe you feel you're at a point in your life where the weight of the battle is almost more than you can bear. And there are times like that. When Barbara died 2.5 years ago, that was a weight. I remember exclaiming to God, Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to survive without Barbara? I didn't see a way it could happen. You say, well, you're a preacher and you believe in Jesus. You know he'd carry, I know I can quote scripture. I know that. And it's very easy to quote scripture and very easy to say that I'm a man of faith. It's easy to say all these things and then you're faced with something much harder than you ever imagined. And that's where the rubber hits the road, and that's where your faith is either real or not. We can say we're all kinds of things when everything's going well. There's plenty of money in the bank. Our health is good. Marriage is great. Kids are great. Grandkids are great. Job is great. Everything's great. Man, I have great faith. And then the bottom falls out of our lives and you lose your right arm. Your heart is cut in two. That's when it gets real. So maybe you feel the weight of battle is too heavy to bear. Well, Jesus is fighting in his holy war. What we're seeing all around us is our spiritual battles. These things that are happening, these kids that are protesting that have been led by these Marxist professors, and all the things that are happening, what's going on in Israel and Ukraine and all around the world, and how our nation is the Marxists are trying to get the kids because that's how communism survives. It starts with the itty-bitties, and they're trying to even pervert the itty-bitty kids. Why? Because we are in a war. We're in a spiritual battle. Thankfully, Christ has already won. He declared victory when he died upon that cross. He was buried, but he rose again 3 days later. He's still alive today. He's coming back. Our enemies, all of them, are already defeated. And then lastly, Israel committed themselves. They reached a point of no return. And they were being led into Canaan for a life filled with milk and honey. And our prayer should be Hebrews 4:11, let us give diligence to enter into that rest. We have all we need in Jesus, don't we? All we need in him. Just focus on him, the author and finisher of our faith. If you're discouraged, he will encourage. If you have burdens that you can't, it seems impossible to bear, lay them at the foot of the cross. He loves you. Cast all your care, all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Questions or comments? That's chapter 5. Yes, sir.
Jesus talked about circumcising the foreskin of your heart.
Yes.
That's to cut all the...
the filth of the flesh. The old life. The filth of the flesh. It's a picture of spiritual surgery that God performs in the heart. And then we, of course, are to put off the old, put on the new, reminding us that our lives are never the same. Never the same. Do what?
Jesus probably circumcised the eighth day. That was the
yes. Yep. Yeah. He followed all the precepts of the law, and he fulfilled them perfectly. Mm. Yep, he was baptized. Yes, ma'am.
Kind of something on what you were talking about with your wife. My dad had taught us at a very young age, and my mom too, but that if you are truly living your life for the Lord, you're always going to have things happen. If Satan's not attacking you, if there's not something going on, then you're not where you need to be with God because
yep.
You need to always be the threat.
Amen.
So that's right.
I thought that was really what we've tried to always live that. You know, it's a good reminder.
It's good to be ready.
It's super easy all the time, but you're not doing what's right. You're not stirring yeah. Hot.
You're right. Absolutely. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And Peter wrote about a lot about suffering, didn't he? If you suffer as a Christian, not as an evildoer, I mean, you know, you get cast into jail because you kill somebody, you deserve it. But when we suffer, and we're seeing more and more of that in our nation, where if you do good, you called names. I mean, if they can't think of any other name, they'll call you a racist. And nothing to do with race, but you're a racist because you disagree with me. And I'm a radical left Marxist, and you should agree with me. And if you don't, I'll call you names. It's a crazy world we live in. But that was a good lesson from your parents, for sure. Anybody else?
This has been a good morning. People speaking up. And
yeah. Amen. I like it. All right. Prayer list. Can you pray for the church? My, we need some people to come. And we have people come and go and come and go and come. It's making me seasick. Pray for our nation. There's much to pray about. I could spend hours talking about our nation. Pray for Israel. God will give them great victory. And you know, this is no accident that Israel's going through this. God is desperately trying to show them that Messiah, Jesus, is their Messiah. Don't look any further. Don't wait for another one. And I'm praying that many Jews will come to faith in Christ through this, and others as well, of course. Pray for Ukraine, the situation there. That thing would end. We keep dumping money in it, and there's a whole lot of money going in pockets. Ukraine has been a bastion of corruption for decades. It's, you know, the media tries to make it seem like Zelensky and the Ukraine leaders are all the saints of God. They're standing for righteousness, and Putin is this evil guy, and he is. It's not that cut and dry.
Probably a lot of countries like that.
Oh, sure.
A lot of
countries. Absolutely. Money gets dumped in. Haiti has had billions and billions, and it goes in the pockets of the despots, and the people don't get it. They continue to starve to death. Pray for law enforcement, especially Sergeant Lemon back there when he's out in the street. Pray for our missionaries that we support and others that are preaching, of course, the Word of God. Pray for Mark and his health. Lori, we thank God for what he's done for her. She's, the only thing that she's struggling with right now is low iron, and that takes a couple iron pills, and she'll be back in shape there. Missy Nixon, Barbara Mason, cancer treatments. Becca has surgery November the 14th. How's little Brody doing? Any word on Brody?
They have not gotten back in touch with Bethany, so we're hoping that's a good sign.
Amen. Yeah. Pray for Mason. He has rheumatoid arthritis and has had some real serious battles with kidney stones and bleeding. You got a report there, Billy? Okay.
To find out exactly what's what.
All right, continue to pray for Mason. Then Kelly, not Kelly Lemon, my Kelly. Kelly Richard is her name now. But Kelly, they found a small, very, very small pea-sized little mass, and they're doing some investigation to see what it is. So pray for her. They keep, the doctor has been battling illness, the doctor. So she has an appointment to go see this doctor. Doctor's office calls and said, doctor's still out. No, 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 no. So this thing has drug on for a while, and I don't like that. I'm sure she doesn't, even more so than me. Pray for Donald Alexander. He was ready to go home from the hospital. They checked his oxygen count. It was low, and so they had to keep him in there to remove more fluid from, especially his right lung. Annadale, that's Annadale's brother. And then those traveling, Fred and Annadale, Michael, I think Sherry, but I'm not sure. Rhonda is gone because you put Rhonda. As far as Scott knows, Rhonda went to the competition. And then if Rhonda's not here, I don't know if Mark is not driving, so he's not going to be here. But pray for them. And Mary is homesick with bronchitis. And it's been the better part of a week, and there's not much improvement. So please pray for Mary that God will knock this out, because she's been in the hospital with this. I've gone to see her a couple times she's been in. And I guess if she doesn't improve, they're going to put her in there, aren't they?
They're thinking about it.
Yeah. So we need to really pray. Pray for Leonard, too. because when Mary's down, she cracks the whip. Leonard's got work. He gets no breaks. Okay? All right. Anybody need to add to the prayer list? Yes, ma'am.
My dad's having surgery December 19th. So if you'll pray for that.
Jeff, right?
Yes. And my mom, Vicky.
She's still having headaches? And they don't have any idea what's causing it? Wow.
So they're trying to...
When is your dad's surgery?
December 19th.
Okay. Anyway, you were still saying something, and I interrupted you.
Just for my mom's health, too.
Okay, I got that. Okay.
And then if you could pray for my our good friend and neighbor, their granddaughter got meningitis. And
ooh.
They were able to catch it soon enough that she didn't make it through, but she's having a lot of issues. She hasn't spoke yet. She hadn't walked until last week. We've been praying for her, and she's 18 months old. So it's a pray that they're not sure if it's from the meningitis, which is possible or not. But so they're doing a lot of tests on her, and it's just for her and then our opportunity with witnessing with them.
Okay. What is the granddaughter's name? Do you know?
Finley.
Yes. That's something very near and dear to my heart. Our daughter, when I was in Bible college, finishing my first semester, she was 18 months old, and she got a rare form of meningitis they didn't catch, and within 17 hours, she was with the Lord.
Oh,
yeah, that was the hardest test of my life until I lost my wife. That was phase two. All right, let's stand together and take these requests to our Lord. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you are God, and you are the captain of the armies, captains of the hosts, and there are legions of angels that watch over us and, Lord, serve you and do your bidding. We ask, Lord, that you would touch the bodies of these we called out to you, that you would heal them as only you can, that you protect those that are traveling. We pray, Lord, those that have upcoming surgery, that you would guide the surgeon's hand. And we know, Lord, even before that happens, you could heal them if that be your will. We pray, especially this morning for Mary, that you would touch her body and take away this bronchitis, restore her to health. And Father, we thank you that you are one that we can count on. You're the great physician. You are the healer. And we've seen you heal time and time and time again. We think of what you've done recently for Lori. And we pray, Lord, that you receive glory in all of this, that men, women, boys, and girls will be drawn to you. We pray you bless the coming hour. We ask, Lord, that you would touch hearts and change lives and save souls of those that are lost. And bless every part of the service. May it bring honor and glory to your holy name. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll start at 5 after. So that gives us about 7 or 8 minutes. We're running a little teeny late, but it was worth every minute. I mean, I'm not in any hurry. You in a hurry? Betty, you in a hurry? No.